this is okay. Actually, this is okay. It's really not against God. It's all about this. And then comes a truth. You will be like God, knowing right from wrong. That's a truth. But you will not surely die. There's the lie. Because the devil means physical death and left out the spiritual death, which is always what happens. So biblical literacy is extremely important. So studies have shown that a child, who here has a son, daughter, nephew, niece, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, grandparent with a smartphone? How many kids have smartphones? Okay. How much time do you spend on your smartphone? Average study shows that a child will spend an average of 2 hours per day watching TV during the week. 3 hours per day on the weekends, that's 834 hours per year watching television. Cell phone use, computers, iPads, iPods, simple answer, 4 hours, 5 minutes per day. Now, Jariah basically has his MP3 player iPod stuck in his ear. You'll see him wander around with it. He's got so we got him to at least pull one of them out so he can kind of sort of hear us. So simple answer, 4 hours, 5 minutes per day on your cell phone, computer, iPad, iPod. That's 1,490 hours per year. How long would it take you to read the Bible? I'm looking at the kiddos. How long would it take you to read the Bible? Take a guess. It's okay to be wrong or right. 2 years to read the Bible. Okay. That's a good plan. That's honestly a good plan. So let's see. Yeah, I can turn that page over now. Okay, wait. I can't turn that page over. So the Bible is 800,000 words on average, depending on the version, okay? 800,000 words. The average person reads 250 to 300 words per minute, so it would take 3,200 minutes to read the Bible. In other words, you could read the entire Bible, if you're an average reader, in 54 hours. Just over 2 days. You could read the entire Bible in a week if you just simply spent 7 hours a day. Simply. Okay? But you can do it. Now, there are some people that can read 800 words per minute, so they can literally read the entire Bible in 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. So if someone decided to read the Bible in 1 year, this young lady said 2 years, if you could read it in 1 year, you only need 10 minutes per day. 10 minutes per day to read your Bible. That's it. How many of you honestly, I'm not counting, this is for everybody, I'm not counting, oh, by the way, this is another rabbit hole. This is not in here. How many, not counting daily devotions on your phone or your iPad or a little book that you open that has a Bible verse in it and a discussion, I'm not talking that, I mean actually spend 10 minutes a day reading your Bible? Raise your hand. So you can read the Bible in entirety of 1 year. That's biblical literacy, knowing what your Bible says. Okay? That's what we need to do so we don't end up with this nonsense. Okay? Listening to the devil say something incorrectly to us and us buying into it. Okay? So biblical literacy is a paramount in our walk with God. It begins at home. Parents, we face an uphill battle to encourage our kids to read just 10 minutes a day. I'll promise you, we do not have that mastered either, because our children are individuals, okay? But if we can encourage our children, grandchildren's, nephews, children's, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, to read just 10 minutes a day, they will start to understand the Holy Spirit is not a junior Holy Spirit. Live, breathing God inside will help them start to understand God's word. Okay? They spend an average 40 minutes per day with Facebook alone, 34 minutes per day with YouTube alone. If they put those two together, an hour and 15 minutes-ish just on the internet. We as children's pastors have roughly 52 hours a year. 52 hours a year, and they spend how many hours a day on these other items? So that's why I'm saying we need to be able to start teaching it at home, and then the children's pastors encourage and develop the individual at the church level. But it has to be at home. And I know my kids get sick and tired of hearing it. Have you read your Bible today? No. Okay. Don't you think you should? Yeah. You know, so the little ones, we play trivia games. The big kids, the two older ones, we've got a really neat youth devotional. It's really good. They like it. I had what really kind of got me into this was about 3 years ago. I'm looking at Jennifer because she's the social coordinator of the house. She knows what my schedule is and what it's supposed to be versus what I make it. And so I think it was about 3 years ago. Went to a men's conference, had a national speaker talk about, what was the verse? Genesis 10:9. And it was a great sermon. It was a great sermon. I was inspired, and that's what it was supposed to do, get men to go and, yes, men of God. Problem was when I went home and I started looking at it, I was like, wait, something's not right. So I did some research. The mighty men before God, referring to Nimrod, here's my problem. I'm like, this is Nimrod we're talking about. Isn't he the one we always say, quit being a Nimrod? Like, why are we, he's a mighty man before God. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I started looking at it and did some research. The word before is actually, in the Hebrew, can be interpreted and can be. Most of the time it's interpreted as of God. But it can be interpreted as against God. So I started looking up into the Hebrew. And into what the Hebrew, there's a website, and I didn't write it down, I apologize. If you want, I can help you find it. So I started reading some history, and the Jewish scholars believe it should be against God, not of God. So in reality, Nimrod was a really bad guy. He was against God. Hebrew scholars believe it was Nimrod that built the Tower of Babel. That it was Nimrod who started the whole Sanskrit language and started that civilization, which they believe could be the very first precursor of an empire in history, done by Nimrod, a guy who was against God. They also believe that he could have been the person epitomized in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is, again, we're going back into history about Nimrod and Noah and all these things, about the biblical flood, okay? So I thought, wait a second. Maybe he did it on purpose because he wanted to inspire, and it worked. But in reality, why would you want to use a guy that is against God, that hates God with a passion, that is trying to build a temple tall enough to reach the heavens so that if God floods the earth again, by the way, Nimrod was a grandson of Noah. Long, different line, okay? And so he was saying, you are not going to flood this earth and take my life ever again. I'm going to stand on top of this hill. They believed there was a throne on the top of the Tower of Babel for him to stand on and shake his finger at God. You are not going to kill me. I mean, so that goes into Jewish history and Jewish the theology of Nimrod and Noah and the flood and all of that, okay? I'm not going to debate that I fully believe it. I will not stand on that simply because I want to give you the information, let you decide. But biblical literacy is something that we have to have. We are commanded to teach our children. Deuteronomy 11:19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. It's hard. I see a family here that has grandchildren, great-grandchildren serving the Lord. I am the first in my family. I can't say that about my great-grandfather. He was according to my grandfather, he was a harsh taskmaster. Can't say that about my grandmother because she hated her parents so much she left and went to work on the ranch where she met my grandfather. So I can honestly say that I firmly believe I'm the very first person in my known family to accept Christ. And I'm the very first one to actually live it out, following and raising my children that way. It's hard. Sometimes my kids just roll their eyes at me. It's okay. All right? Psalm 34:11, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 32:46, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day so that you may command your children to obey all the words of this law. It's not talking about the children's pastor or the pastor of the church, or it's the church's job. It's talking about the parents and the grandparents. It's our job, the rest of the time of the week, to teach the children. It's our job. Because if they don't see it from us, where are they going to see it? They're not going to see it on YouTube. Matthew 21:15-16. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and they're talking about Jesus, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. The children were singing Hosanna because they recognized the power of God and they were praising the Lord. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him, yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? That's in Psalms 8:2. Child care implies that nothing goes on in our infancy or toddler classrooms except taking care of the needs of the little ones. It's the little ones that still have the heart, unimpeded by Facebook and YouTube and Looney Tunes. Okay? Unimpeded by that, that are open. And that's where we need to sit down and pray with them, read Bible stories to them, worship with them. Even at a young age, their spirit will respond. Do you honestly think that it's just because it was John the Baptist? This is a rabbit hole again. John the Baptist and Jesus in the wombs of their mothers that had that connection where the baby leaped? Do you think that? No, I think it happens in our own kids. I mean, I'm not a woman. I've never had a baby, but I would. That was supposed to be funny. That you would think that if you worship with the child will recognize worship and the Holy Spirit and will want to be a part of that. I don't know, I'm just guessing there. Matthew 8:10 says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What does the word despise mean? Hate? It's from the Greek kataphroneo. I phonetically did that because I couldn't say it. Meaning look down on, scorn, show contempt, hate. I once, just this week, I saw a post on Facebook. But it was so relevant. Someone took a picture of a card they were given, a card they were given. And it said something to the effect of, we're glad you're here, we're thankful you're here, we're welcome to worship with us, but please take your child out to the lobby and finish worshiping out there. Like, what? I would have torn that thing up and never come back. Either that or no, not really. I would have went up to the podium and said, hey, what are you talking about? I would have said something. I'd have got pretty fired up over that. So let's change how we think and talk about the children, because they are on a fast track to learning. Children, their brains are... How old was Jaden when he learned all about trains? Three? Two. We sit him in front of a video because he likes trains. There's a train track and trains that go right outside Grandma's house and in Baker. So we just... And he loved the train. So we got this video and talked all about different kinds of trains. At 2 years old, he could describe and tell you what train was on the track at what time, wherever we were at. He could tell you if it was electric, if you tell what, I don't know what they were, locomotive, or it was, they don't have steam, but I mean, the kid just knew his stuff. At 2 years old, he's telling the parents. So their brains are on a fast track. So if we touch their hearts and minds at a young age consistently, think what they can do when they're older. You know, grandparents, aunts and uncles, get a hold of your kids and say, hey, let's go do something. And turning it into a God moment, because it's going to stick with them. The reason I know that is from my experience after I got saved. I was the only Christian kid in my church. How sad is that? We were an older church. I got saved watching a movie at the church. And basically it was fire insurance. Because I was scared. I didn't want that to happen. And so one gentleman had two boys, a little bit younger than me. And he would take me out for French fries and hot cocoa sometimes. And he tried to pour into me. I did grow up without a dad. Single mom, raising three boys, working two or three jobs at a time to try to make a living. And I remembered him, even when I was in my darkest days, I remembered Keith Loss. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's right now, he's the janitor, maintenance guy at Central Assembly in Great Falls. And a few years ago, about 10 years ago, really, I found him, and I personally thanked him for investing, even though it was French fries and hot cocoa, into a little boy who was lost. And it paid dividends, and I hope it's still paying dividends. So we need to change how we think about kids. We need to teach the little ones about the love of Jesus and the great, big, awesome world that he created. And we're not just talking little kids. We're talking our teenagers, too. They are in a world that we would never have guessed or imagined. And they're living through it. And they're struggling at times to try to make sense of what is right and what is wrong, what the world's version of right is and what the Bible's version of right is. That's where biblical literacy comes in. That's where we have a part to play. We can't leave it just up to the church. Like I said, we only have 52 hours a year to try to make a difference in someone's life, whereas you have a ton of hours. The average person works 2,080 hours if they work a 40-hour week in a year. You have 8 hours at home. 8 hours of sleep, ish, okay? How many hours do we have to invest in our kids, the future? The kids now are going to need God more than we ever thought we needed. Because time is drawing near. Time is short, people. And if we don't give them what they need now, how are they going to give it to the next generation? It's slowly slipping. Jennifer and I know all too well how important it is that we work with parents and grandparents to instruct, teach, and enable the children. It is your responsibility, as Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, in today's day and age, I would add, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, aunts, uncles, foster care providers, so on. Do not exasperate your children. Meaning, oh, I'll get into that. Hey, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Instead, bring them up in the training instruction of the Lord. What does exasperate mean? Frustrate? The Greek word used for exasperate or provoke in most other translations is parorgidzo. Again, I phonetically try to pronounce that because I don't know Greek. But I do know how to put the Greek in English parts. Okay, which means to anger, provoke. So why did they use that word? Has anybody thought about that? You can answer. Why did we use that word? Do not provoke or exasperate your children. And how would we do that? You're right, I'm going that direction, but how do we do that? How do we turn them away from Jesus? When we sit down and we say something we shouldn't say, it's okay because I said it. When we do something we shouldn't do, it's okay because I did it, but it's not okay for you. It's walking your walk with God consistently, constantly, every day for them to see that you are holding yourself accountable. Because the kids will get exasperated. They'll be provoked to anger. Why? Because how come it's okay? They're smart. How come you can do it, but I can't? Well, the Bible said so. What, the Bible has differences between an adult and a child? Nope. Try to argue that one, family. You can't. But yet we as adults often do. We don't apologize for the mistakes we make. We don't fess up to them. We don't say, hey, you know what, I was wrong. I'm sorry. That's what happens. And they see the double standard and they're going, I don't want any part of that. That's the current situation that we're in a lot of colleges. Kids are walking away from their faith because the parents cannot say what they mean and mean what they say and understand the difference. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But we can do it. Biblical literacy means knowing what your Bible says and living it out. 10 minutes a day. If you're a good reader and you got time on your hands, you can read the entire Bible in 3 days. I have read the Bible 4 times over in the course of the last 6 years. I feel like I'm slacking. I haven't read it yet all the way through this year. But it was then that I started to realize, oh, wow, I didn't read that before. I didn't see that. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you ponder and you think on it, you meditate on it. That's not a bad thing, meditating on the Word of God. I don't have it. Honestly, have I gone all over the place? I've kind of been shotgunned it, haven't I? I feel like I have. My rabbit trails, I'm blaming it on the lack of medicine. Have you ever had a discussion with one of your teenagers that didn't exasperate either one of you? Have you? Daily. I'm talking teenagers. It happens daily. Why can't I do that? Because it's late? Can you take this garbage out? What? We do this all the time. It's part of our chore. They just ask you to do something. You know, and then, of course, we say something, and it gets them frustrated, so they come back at you. It's like, okay, it's normal life, okay? It's normal life, but it's how we handle it that makes the difference. And we can handle it biblically, okay, because we know our Bible, or we can handle it in the flesh, which sometimes is what really happens, because we're human. So the question is how do we train up our kids right? You are the people that do it every day. Jennifer and I do it every day. And then we get 52 hours a year regularly, let me put it that way, to impart into kids something new, something wonderful, something powerful about God. But it's the day-to-day challenges that make or break your relationship with Christ. That's where your faith comes in. That's like, God, you've got this. I know you do. Every once in a while, I get to take some kids up to Ranger Mountain. By the way, if allowed to come here, I want to encourage every grandfather, dad, uncle to come with me to Ranger Mountain. It's the weekend before Father's Day. It is fantastic. By the way, I get the cabin. Yes, dear?
Are they to bring their son, grandson,
nephew? Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. She brought up a good point. Make sure you bring the little guy with you. Okay. I mean, you can come too. You don't have to bring a little guy. You can come too. It's a lot of fun, and we enjoy it. We go up on Wednesday, which is like a day and a half before it actually gets going. And we play, and we have fun, and we hang out, and we cook. And it's guy time. The next week is girl time. We'll plan that one later. But hanging out with boys and with men is fun. That's what I love doing that. I love hanging out with your kids. I love hanging out with your teenagers and your little ones and teaching them about God. I tell you what, some of them don't like me so much when they friend me on Facebook or Instagram because I catch them doing stuff. They don't like me when I call them on it. I'm like, really? That's typically what I do. The whole really and little eyebrow raising dude or the whatever, emojis, emoticons, whatever you call that stuff. But they know that someone's there protecting them, watching them, saying, hey, you're following the Lord. Let's do it. You can do this. I don't do it to be mean. Say, hey, you can do this. And that's why we all come in together as a family, is to do it together, to help each other, and to grow our kids so that they can be strong Christian men and women of God, serving the Lord, and making a new generation stronger than we've ever thought we had to be, because they need to be stronger. They absolutely have it. We have to know our Bible, parents, so we can properly teach our kids. We must also live it out each and every day. We have to live it. It's hard sometimes. Pastor said this morning, Sunday's the hardest day, isn't it? That's the day when we seem to have the most discussions and arguments and loud discussions sometimes in our family. Because it's Sunday. The devil knows where we're headed, and he's going to make everybody in a bad mood. Plus, it doesn't help that, you know, the night before is a Saturday night and everybody wants to stay up late and go to friend's house or the youth group and youth center and hang out. Baker is a blessing that we have a youth center over there. It's for the community. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the youth center there in Baker. It has what, Dryad has what, PlayStations or Nintendos or what? A Wii, an Xbox, a PlayStation, something else, another thing or whatever. Janesha is really good. It's Dryad, you like to play the football? Janesha plays the Marvel, what? Injustice. It's part of the Justice League. The Marvel characters beat each other up. They have board games. They have a night that's called Unplugged where no electronics are allowed. And so you have to play board games and you have to communicate with each other. That's an amazing thing. They have a pop machine, a popcorn machine. They cook food. Of course, you know, they raise a lot of money during the fireworks season to pay for it all. So don't get me wrong. It's not coming out of the church. It's coming from the community to keep it open, keep it running. But it's not just for the church kids. It's for the whole community. And it's an outreach. It's to help reach people for Christ. And it works. One kid at a time, it works. Kids that don't come to our church are getting saved at the youth center. And then slowly coming over to the church and bringing their parents and their families because of the change in their kids. It starts with the children and the youth. And the adults have to impart the wisdom and the knowledge that they have. Kids can learn it in their heads because of the teaching, but they learn it in their hearts from the home. So I want you to, hopefully, if I leave you with anything, that it'll leave you with that. And I think that's all 10 pages. Again, big letters help me read. I got three parts of my glasses. The faraway part, the kind of faraway part, the middle part, and the not so close part, or really close part. So four parts of my glasses. So I would like to encourage, and that's really what this is yes, it's hard facts. These are hard facts, not only hard because we have to listen to them, but hard because they're true, that we have to face. And as a ministry to this community, how are we going to reach the elderly, the shut-ins? How are we going to reach the business people? How are we going to reach the youth, the kids? How are we going to reach them for Christ? What do we have to do? And it boils down to 10 minutes a day, folks, reading your Bible. And if something catches your attention, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, look at that. Stop. Meditate on it. Think about it. I downloaded a Greek-Hebrew dictionary, or actually it's a Greek-Hebrew Bible, but it has a concordance, a lexicon, has everything I need. I can just read it in English and go over, and where it's Hebrew, it's Hebrew, where it's Greek, it's Greek, and I just touch on that word, and it brings up the definition. Also a phonetic spelling, pronunciation of the word, which is great for me because all those circles and backwards E's don't mean anything to me. But you can read it, and you go, oh, that's what that means. That's the translation. That's cool. And God has just imparted some new knowledge into you that you can now share. And that's where biblical literacy is so valuable and important, so that we can do, again, pass it down to the kids and those younger than us. I would like to encourage you, if you have not spent 10 minutes a day, that's all it takes. Put away the Bible app. Rabbit trail. Okay, raise your hand. First thing you do in the morning is pick up your phone. Yeah. I have a daily devotion Bible app that I do with my wife. It's pick up. Okay. But pick up your Bible. Grab your cup of coffee or tea or milk, whatever, and sit down and read your Bible for 10 minutes. Then get on your apps. Then get on your phone. But spend that 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, every day you'll have read through the Bible in 1 year. 1 year. You can do it in 1 year with just 10 minutes a day. You know? How many YouTube videos are 10 minutes long? I showed you one that was 5 minutes total. I only gave you a portion of it. So we can do this. And that's what I want to encourage you guys, okay? So let's go ahead, and I don't know how we're going to close this thing, but we'll just close in prayer, if that's okay. Okay. And if you feel like you want to make a commitment to reading your Bible 10 minutes a day, stand up. This is unplanned. If you're going to make a commitment to read your Bible 10 minutes a day, that's all you'll have read it in 1 year. All right. So let's close in prayer.